Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. We're constantly reminded of the innovation deficit in Canada, the notion that Canadian companies aren't creating enough world-class products to sell on the global stage. Although the term is usually applied in reference to technology companies and university research labs, there's an innovation deficit with small and mid-sized businesses as well. In the case of SMBs, it's the gap between a company's actual and potential ability to create new products and improve its processes for competitive advantage. One of the best sources of innovation and competitive advantage is simply this: knowing your customer well and applying that knowledge in beneficial ways. Joining me to help us better understand how to make those connections is Paul Rivett. For more than 20 years, Paul has helped companies from venture-backed startups to multinational corporations exploit technology opportunities in global markets. Today, he is the client services manager at Venture Lab, which is based in Markham, Ontario. Venture Lab primarily helps business-to-business technology companies build and commercialize new products. Paul, thanks for joining the Business Coach Podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Paul, most companies would say that they are close to the customer or that they know their customer well, and for many of them, that would be an overstatement. What do you think is the hallmark of a business that understands its customer?
What I think is the secret of being close to the customer is understanding not just what your customer wants, but understand how the customer's business works, especially the aspects that are common to similar customers who make up the market segment. If you do that, you'll understand how your products enhance the business of the customer and the reality of the business, not just the hype on how you want to present it to the customer. You want to understand the customer's current dissatisfaction with the products and services and processes that they're using now, and with the products that they're using, even if they happen to be ones that you provided them. The best vendors often hear, "You understand our business better than we do." And in fact, some of the best vendors have representatives of their customer's customer on their board of advisors, because that helps them better understand the type of business problems their customers are facing.
So, Paul, you did mention customer advisory boards, and I would certainly recommend from my experience with growth companies that this is something that can really drive innovation and it can drive customer satisfaction and basically sell more products, increase your revenue. What are some of the other best practices or behaviors of companies that truly are close to their customers or their market?
I think the first thing is to understand that there's a time for selling your product and a time for listening to what the customer has to say. It's also very useful for companies to have multi-level connections with their companies. So it's not just the salesperson to the customer's buyer, but also engineer to engineer, executive to executive, project manager to project manager, even support to support. That helps provide multi-levels of contact with the customer to understand where the problem is coming from, because it might not be at the executive level and probably won't be at the purchasing level. It's also important to network within the community of the customers. That is, go to the trade shows of the customers, go to network associations of the customers, not just to look for leads and prospects, but to really understand what's going on in their business.
Now, Paul, some companies essentially embed their customers in the innovation process. An example of this is companies that co-develop a product, or they will develop a prototype and give it to the actual customer for field testing. What are the benefits of this approach, and what, if any, pitfalls are there?
Okay, I think there are a number of benefits. The main one being it's an opportunity to get the customer to buy in before the company has made all the commitments necessary to complete the development of the product and to launch the product onto the marketplace. It's an opportunity to get insights from the customer on the benefits of the features. It gives the customer time to examine the interface issues between the product and their current operations. And it also gives the opportunity to get input on the feature cost trade-offs. The problem, though, is that there's a couple of problems. One problem is that it often gets the company too focused on one customer's need and not necessarily representing the entire market. The whole point of this is to finish a product that's good for the whole market based on the collective information from just a handful of customers. Sometimes the customer's representative in this kind of examination or activity doesn't deeply understand their own company's business, so might not be making comments on features that really benefit the business of the customer.
Now, one of the problems with customers, you should never blame the customer, but often they don't know what they really want until they see it, and that makes innovation risky. What is a good way to reduce that risk?
Again, I think the issue is to be very careful in separating the wants from the needs and from the perceived needs from what drives business value. If you ask the customer whether they want it in blue or green or whether they want these features on the menu, you get a lot of micro information that is going to lead to a very complicated or could lead to a very complicated product. I think the main thing you want to get from customers is to really understand, for example, in a software solution, to really understand the value of what types of information go in, from what points in time and how it all gets consolidated, where things add value to them in terms of timing, quality, continuity, et cetera, rather than the specifics of the form of the final product.
Paul, that's really great advice, and I want to thank you for joining the Business Coach podcast.
Thank you.
Paul Rivett is Client Services Manager at Venture Lab, based in Markham, Ontario. That's it for this episode of the Business Coach podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes, which you can download from bmo.com/coach, profitguide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit the BMO Smart Steps for Business community at bmo.com/smartbusinessowners. Until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.